Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Which glory be are you doing?
Are we doing the normal glory be, or are we doing...
You're listening to The Quizzical Papist. It's your extraordinary form bar trivia.
We have a pope.
Father brings the questions, and hopefully you have the answers.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And here's your host, Father Brad Doyle.
Hey everyone, this is Father Brad Doyle, and you're listening to The Quizzical Papist, your extraordinary form bar trivia. Praise be Jesus Christ. We have another great episode for you. Actually, there's no returning guests. I wrote that down because Father Josh, you're here? Cricket.
Yeah. Cricket.
No, he totally.
Empty seat.
The sede vacante. Father Josh Johnson's not here, but I'm still using his name so I can get the hits on iTunes.
Yes.
Okay. But we do have some patrons of the show, which I'm always super duper duper pumped about because these are the people that have invested their treasure and their time and just are fans of the show, and that's really awesome. And we have Avera Santo here as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to go around, introduce ourselves. So Avera, why don't you introduce yourself? What are you sipping on, and what's your favorite comedy?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So I'm Avera Maria Santo, 23 years old, or almost 23 years old, from Mobile, Alabama. I'm sipping on, what is this, a Moscow Mule that I actually don't hate. So I'm very proud of myself for almost finishing this.
Is that
right
a compliment?
Now. Yes, absolutely. I don't drink much at all. So the fact that I'm almost done with this, it's like...
It's not boding well for David, who's on your team. You're like, I've just downed two Moscow Mules.
This
and
is
I'm
only
ready.
My first one.
That's true. I'm just. Yeah. It was poetic lessons. That's good. So, what's your favorite comedy?
My favorite comedy. Oh my gosh. I was a big fan of Madea movies growing up. So, and I'll just give this advice: the plays are always better. So. It's so bad. I can't even remember the name of the one that I like the most.
Is it the one where Tyler Perry dresses up like a girl?
Yes, but...
that's every single one.
Yes. It might be like Big Happy Family. I believe it might be the Big Happy Family play that's my favorite. Cool. But yeah, like, again, he's just so funny. And I love when they go off script and then you can tell like all the actors
laughing.
Are like trying to fight it, like trying to fight not to laugh. So
that's awesome. Father, so you know what? You're representing Father Josh. He couldn't be here, but he would have said that.
Yeah.
Mike Wilson, a.k.a. SKP Machine of the very famous Popish Plot.
This is so complex. I love this name.
He's as complex as his beard.
Yes.
So, Mike, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you're sipping on and what's your favorite comedy?
Hi, my name is Mike Wilson. This evening, I am sipping on, as I will display for those of you watching on radio, a Red Stripe.
There you go.
And I would say this is a very complicated question because some movies they skip genres.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to go with Spaceballs.
Wowzers. That's classic.
Because there was one summer, probably like the summer after it came out, my brother and I watched it on Betamax literally every day that summer.
Ooh, that sounds way older than me.
Oh my gosh.
It was glorious.
That is
That's a record.
That is a record. You could Guinness Book. Exactly. Go check it out.
Even the word Betamax just kind of like awakened something so deep in my memory maybe I heard when I was like 3 years old.
This is good. This is part of you awakening the trivia.
Yes.
This is part of the warm-up, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have another patron, which we're really excited about. This is one of the OG, like really early on. He reached out to a cousin of his who happened to be working out with me at a CrossFit gym. It was all kinds of crazy connections. We got David Smalley from Cleveland, nowhere near Chicago, even though I always say he's from Chicago. It's horrible. David, introduce yourself. What'd you say? Sipping on and tell us what your favorite comedy is.
All right. Thanks for having me. David Smalley from Cleveland, Ohio, officially Westlake, just a little bit west of the city. I'm sipping on a Manhattan made from Western Reserve Distillery here local in Lakewood, Ohio, which is a brand new organic grain distillery, Ancient Grains. And wow. To complement that, a cup of community roast coffee from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about, man. CC's. That's great. What's your favorite comedy?
This is a tough one because there's so many, but I'm going to go with Monty Python and the Holy Grail as the all-time favorite, and close runner-up, which is really more of a sort of a couples movie, but also a comedy, is Moonstruck.
I need to watch that. I haven't seen that one. I have seen Monty Python, and we actually have a reference to that, right? A lot of people say in the show, they say, you can't handle, what is it, something about a Spanish Inquisition?
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
You can't handle the Spanish Inquisition. That's a mix between A Few Good Men and Monty Python. Don't even worry about it. Well,
and
guys.
Braveheart.
And Braveheart. Yeah. Thank you for joining us. We love having patrons on. Thank you for your support in Patreon. If you want to be on the show, you could be like David and Mike and Skype in and be on the show and spend way too much time waiting for me to start the episode. You just have
You can be like David and Mike and you can buy your way on.
Yeah.
That's how much
I think so of y'all. That's so great.
just go to patreon.com/quizzicalpapist. Okay. It's time for the introit. Okay, guys, hold on. Let me pull this up. I'm so excited about this one.
Like, do we hear the theme music or do you edit that in later?
I edited it in later.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay. So this is the introit. Okay. This is the introit. It's called O Blessed Insurance.
Ooh.
Not. And notice I didn't say, oh, blessed assurance, that hymn about being once saved, always saved. Mm-hmm. I said, blessed insurance.
Like Allstate.
Like Allstate. You tell me whether this celebrity has actually insured this part of their body.
I'm going to know this. I used to work for an insurance place, so I might know this.
Wow. Okay, so it's in alphabetical order to not thwart game or to thwart game theory. And here is, we're going to start with Avera in-house. Avera, we're starting with Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top, his beard. Is his beard insured?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Of course it is. This may sound strange, but it probably isn't terribly surprising. After all, besides an iconic career and a huge canon of classic country hits, the singer is best known for his incurable bounce. There might be a bit of sticker shock, though, when you read the price tag. $3.8 million for...
Oh, my gosh.
His facial amazing. Hair.
It'll grow back.
Will it, though?
That's true. This is like a replenishable resource. You never know. He could get burned.
Yeah.
His hair follicles. Okay, let's shoot it over to Mike. David Beckham's whole body.
Mm. Yes.
Of course. David Beckham, soccer player, very, very important soccer player. In 2004, Beckham was billed as the highest paid player in history, and he insured his entire body. So sometimes it's like people who count on their, so it's other people insuring them, like basically people they work for, so maybe like mm-hmm. a sports team or something like that, or a record label. But his body was insured for $195 million.
That's,
that's market value.
We just won't speak on it.
I want to insure his soul. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. But that's priceless.
You've got your mind in the right place.
That's true.
Oh, that's also true.
I want to insure a soul.
I take back my first comment.
$10,000 worth of indulgences. Okay. So you got it. Y'all are drilling me this far.
That's
I'm going
to. That's two for two.
That's two for two.
This is getting tough.
You scared, David?
I am.
Okay, here we go. Donald Trump's hair.
Let's get
political. I'm saying
political,
that's not insured.
Political.
David, what'd you say?
I'm saying that's not insured.
It is not insured.
Oh!
Good job. It's just, I tried to find it.
Is it because it's not his? Or
you wrong.
Oh,
and so right.
I think it is.
I think it is. It's But
I mean, he might have bought it, but like, so he might own it on paper. But
I fear that is real.
It, is it real. Might be. I'm just bagging on that.
I think it is real, and it is not insured. Another resource that keeps growing. Okay, back to Avera. Mm-hmm. Floyd Mayweather's right fist.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
It is not insured.
What?
Nope.
I'm shook.
I'm trying to think. Like, is he a righty? Is he a lefty? I couldn't remember.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking in my head. Is his left hand insured?
No, I don't think any of his fists are insured.
I think boxing, you're going to need both of those.
Yeah, that and his, like, face as well.
That would be... I don't think any insurance company would insure a boxer's face.
Yeah.
You're probably going to lose on that. Okay, so back to Mike. Gene Simmons' tongue.
Yes.
Of course. It's a really long tongue. Don't That's look disturbing. It up. Yeah. It's weird. David, Heidi Klum's legs.
No. I'm going no.
He's going no. When she started modeling, her legs for Epilady Razor Brand reportedly took out a policy for $1.6 million on her legs.
Oh, yep. My goodness. I guess that makes sense.
Father Josh showed up, and now he wants to play.
Tina Turner.
Wait, what?
Who is Tina Turner?
No,
it's Heidi Klum.
Heidi Klum. Oh. Get out of here. Go to the chapel. Get ye in the chapel.
Oh, I think he's ready for tomorrow already. He wants to get in on the game.
Here we go. Back to Avera. Jennifer Jennifer Lopez's rear.
No, I know this for a fact. It's insured.
It is insured.
Yes, I know this for a fact.
I want to know, like, can she make a claim? Like, what if she just goes on, like, a pizza bender and just, like, you know, like, what does it mean for her rear to be destroyed?
Right.
Is it like...
It just vanishes one day.
These things are never valid if you misuse the product.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm sure it's in
what's the deductible?
Back to Mike. Mike, Keith Richards' middle finger.
I'm going to say no.
It is. 1.6 million. Definitely. What was your reasoning?
Absolutely.
Well, just he's done so many things to damage the equipment.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Dennis Leary used to have a joke that nobody could do drugs because Keith Richards had already done them all.
Yeah, it's like it's I think it has nothing to do with like shooting the bird. I think it's like a middle finger so important to playing guitar, maybe.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize now that I should have said yes.
Yeah.
I allowed my prejudices to stand in the way.
Oh, it's okay. We forgive you. Hold on, I'm plugging my computer in. Okay. We're to David again.
I'm ready.
Okay, we got we're gonna go one more time after this. So you got two more, David. Lady Gaga's nose.
I'm on a roll here. No, no, no. So I'm saying no.
That's true. No, her nose is not insured.
Wow.
Good job.
Game theory, indeed.
Yes.
Yes.
I tried to thwart you. You came strong to the hole, and you got me. Okay, so this one's interesting. There's a lot of different routes if you know the history, but Avera, rock climber Tommy Caldwell's left index finger.
I've never heard of this person.
That is random.
Not the right, just the left.
The left one.
I'm going to say insured.
It no longer exists, so it's not insured.
Oh!
I mean, it might, the atoms are somewhere.
Is that the guy who...
Frostbite?
No, that's the guy who... So 127 actually,
27 hours?
No, that's not that. This is Tommy Caldwell... Go watch The Dawn Wall. The Dawn Wall is a great documentary. I think vastly superior to Free Solo, which was about the guy who free climbed El Capitan, which I just think is kind of stupid and immoral. But, but Tommy Caldwell is he climbed with ropes, but he's the first one on one try to ascend the Dawn Wall on one of the Yosemite, I think it's on El Cap, but it's up a certain route. And him and another guy did it, and it took 19 days. They stayed on the wall.
Oh my gosh.
And when he was younger in his career, it goes through his history, but younger in his career, he accidentally severed his left index finger.
Wow.
Doing some woodworking. And he, I mean, everyone was like, you're a climber, you're done. you're done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he,
yeah.
he came back and did one of the greatest feats ever in climbing. It's beautiful. Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. I'm going to have to watch that. Is it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay.
So check it out.
Mm-hmm. Another good one on Amazon Prime, just while we're talking climbing, is called Meru, M-E-R-U.
Oh. Mm.
Check that out on Amazon Prime. That's a phenomenal documentary of climbing Meru.
Oh.
Name of the, over in Tibet.
Okay.
You're not gonna
Five,
like that.
Sure.
We're going to finish out this round. So we're going to Mike, Tom Jones's chest hair.
Absolutely.
Yep. He was he unbuttoned his shirt a lot. So $7 million on his chest hair.
$7 million for a chest hair.
Oh my gosh.
Well, not
I'm
just,
scared that Mike knows
not
that.
Just one, but
not one chest hair. I mean, this is the sum of all chest hairs equals $7 million. Which, I mean, let's say you have 10,000.
Tom Selleck.
That would be his mustache.
His staff.
Indeed. Yeah.
And his tiger's cap.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Last one. Can you finish it out? David Smalley of Cleveland. Troy Polamalu's hair.
Yes.
Yes, you read it right.
Oh, my gosh.
Not his legs, his shoulders, not his shoulder pads, not his feet, his hair, because the Head and Shoulders, they insured it. He hadn't cut it in like 10 years or something.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
And I can't imagine playing football and like having that sticking out of the back of your helmet. People grabbed onto it all the time.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're going to make bank off
your
hair.
Done now.
He's done. He's out. Yeah.
He's done.
Hey, yeah, y'all feel warm?
We're warm.
I'm
ready.
I'm good.
It's time for the Inquisition.
Are you ready for a war?
Okay, the Inquisition is made up of two rounds of five questions each. Round one is 5 points each. Round two is 7. Don't worry if you fall behind, because there's an offertory round in the middle where you can make up ground. And because we're all part of the body of Christ, you have one chance to phone a friend. Just as at the end of our lives, at the end of this game, there will be an extreme unction, a final grace, final mercy. Wager any of the points you already have, get it right, and you get those points. Get it wrong, and you lose the points, and there will be much wailing and grinding of teeth. Enough of that. Let's build up some treasure in heaven.
I would just like to announce that I have finished my Moscow Mule. This is probably the first drink that I have finished ever.
This is going to be interesting.
And Father Brad has a refill.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is we're going to have David and Avera on a team. What's your team name?
What was the guy, the chest hair guy that had his chest hair injury?
Tom Jones.
Let's be Tom Jones chest hairs.
Tom Jones.
The Tom Jones duo.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll leave out the chest hair.
Yeah. We'll leave out the chest
hair. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Tom Jones duo. Mike, what's your team name?
I came unprepared because I thought I would be discussing with a teammate. And so I will simply choose the route of shameless publicity, and I will play as the Popish Plot.
Question one, round one. It's called Both And. Both And. This is it's one answer, and it's the answer for both of these things, okay? The antagonist of The Last Judge of Israel and a person from A Plain White Tee's song. So the antagonist, so don't say it out loud, Avera. The antagonist of The Last Judge of Israel and a person from A Plain White Tee song. So you think you know, Avera?
I do.
Okay, yeah. You want to lock it in, David?
You're going to have to lock in because
I don't know anything
about The Plain White Tee.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. So so the Tom Jones duo is locked in. Mike, you want to talk it out and maybe give your answer? So talk it out.
With myself,
or just okay, just so, express yourself.
Share with us.
Unfortunately, I don't know The Plain White Tees, so I'm trying to figure out what would be like a song title would also be an antagonist. I think The Last Judge is Samson, and so then his antagonist is Delilah, because Samson is a big example for me.
Gotcha.
Because I used to like to sort of play around with a lot of sin. I'm like, see like how close I can get to the edge. And that's what Samson's doing with Delilah. He's like, I'm not going to tell you my secret, but I'm sort of going to tell you my secret. And eventually he gives away the whole thing.
Wow.
And I think that's a well enough known reference. Like there's the old Victor Mature film, Samson and Delilah. Mm-hmm. I think that's well enough that like a band would name a song after it. So I'm going to go with Delilah.
Okay. So Mike, the Popish plot locks in with Delilah. What do you have, Avera?
I grew up on the Plain White Tees a little bit, and I know that the lead singer of the Plain White Tees was dating a girl named Delilah. Track, actually, I believe at a collegiate level. And I remember seeing her on TV.
Wow.
And then being like, and the announcer being like, oh, that's the girl that's dating the Plain White Tees, who the song Hey There Delilah is named after. So that is the only reason I know that answer. But
there we go. Both Delilah. Teams get it right. It is Delilah. Can you sing bit of the Hey There Delilah for us?
Hey there, Delilah, what's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do.
Wow. That's legit.
I love it.
That's great. Okay, so Delilah, and she is the antagonist of the last judge, Samson, but he gets his revenge on the temples of the pagans and rips it down.
Yeah.
His hair grows back. Mike, is your beard kind of like Samson's powerful hair?
Don't cut that hair.
Yes.
Don't cut it.
Well, like Samson, it's not actually the source of my strength.
Ooh. Question number two, round one, 5 points. All are welcome. And this actually comes from Holy Trivia Flock Notes. So Mike actually might have an up on this because I know he follows that. What is the architectural element typical of early Christian and Byzantine basilicas and churches, consisting of the entrance or lobby area located at the west end of the nave opposite the church's main altar? Is it, and there's four options. Okay. Is it the is it the sacristy, the narthex, the nave, or the vestry?
Locked in.
Oh,
David's locked in.
Okay.
Locked
Look
in.
Here. You do you, sir. Cause I sure don't know.
Okay.
You know, I don't know how I know this, but it's just one of those things that pops in. You kind of remember random stuff,
absolutely.
And I'm going with.
Well, wait! Don't say it.
Oh, I won't say it. Okay, sorry.
Woo. Yeah,
we got out of the one right there.
That was close.
It was close. Okay, so Mike, I want you to express your heart.
All right, so I can come at this question with the earlier both and, because I both remember this from I think last week, and I knew this answer already because this is a super fun word. And, I enjoy saying it. Although I'm not sure if my church has one or if we have like four.
Oh.
Because we have a number of entrances.
Goodness gracious. I thought you were like, it was like Inception. It was like an entrance, then an entrance, then another one. You never get in.
You never actually get to the sanctuary.
That's the Gnostic church.
So close.
We're all just in the court
so
of the Gentiles.
Away.
It's awful.
So what is it?
It is narthex.
Okay, so Popish Plot says narthex. David, what did the Tom Jones duo lock in with?
We locked in with narthex.
That's right. That weird word that sounds like a bad animal from Star Wars.
Yes.
The narthex.
He probably makes really weird noises.
Yeah, and I just call it. So that's what I tell parents. I'm like, oh. Crying children, just take them to the narthex.
Like, where am I supposed to take my kid?
To the narthex.
There's just the screeching animal in the back of the church that is just willing to hold the child. He's actually a very gentle giant.
He is. We call him narthex. Okay, so actually this makes it sound like I don't like children in this, but I actually do. Y'all both got that one right.
Yes.
So 2 for 2. Okay, so we got question number three, round one. The category is ABBA, and I don't mean the Swedes.
Oh, man.
Okay, so Barabbas was actually his surname, Son of the Father. What was Barabbas's first name? So, like, Barabbas is like his last name, and it means Son of the Father.
I'm locked in, so I'm going to go off for a bit.
Okay, so y'all can talk it out.
Okay. This is good. I've watched Jesus of Nazareth many, many times, and I do not recall how I can still picture Stacy Keach in that role, but I cannot remember, you know, what his, if even if in that movie, whether they actually had a first name for Barabbas.
If they even like told what his first name was. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it's Stacy.
the Stacy man named Stacy. No, this isn't the man named Sue.
I had a personal trainer named Stacy. So.
And it was a boy?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You want to go Stacy Barabbas?
Okay. Why not?
Named Let's after lock my in. Personal trainer.
So Tom Jones duo locks in. They locked in with the boy named Stacy. Stacy Barabbas.
Named after my personal trainer from junior year of high school.
There we go. So
and Stacy Keach from Jesus of Nazareth.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, Mike, what do you lock in with?
Well, it's a bit of a clue because his last name means son of the father. His personal name was Jesus.
Wowzers. Wow. That is true.
So there's two Jesuses who are both sons of the father.
But one is...
One is the man of violence and one is the man of peace.
Oh,
and
my
Israel,
goodness.
And Israel chooses
gosh.
Violence.
Wow.
Oh, I'm just stealing that from Bishop Barron.
Never heard that.
Aren't
that
we all?
Awesome.
How profound.
Yeah, and they actually, and so this is, you know, preachers have... And this is actually in one of the Gospels, it names him, in some of the manuscripts of Matthew, I think. Some of the most reliable manuscripts of Matthew name Barabbas, and they give his name, and it's Jesus. And the early church fathers picked this up, and they were like, they wanted Jesus, son of the father, but they wanted him as a revolutionary. They wanted him the way they wanted the Messiah to come. They didn't actually want the peaceful Messiah. They didn't want the victim Messiah. Mm-hmm. They wanted the warrior.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How powerful.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I'm going to walk around with that knowledge and be like, I know something you don't, and it's really cool.
Well, that's
going in my group message tonight.
Isn't that the purpose of trivia? To feel better than other people?
Yes.
I think so. That's part of it.
Especially Catholic trivia.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Mike takes a little bit of a lead. We got, Mike gets 5 points there. Question number 4 of round 1. Can I call you Pete? I don't know why I picked that. okay, here's the question. Hounds of the Lord is a nickname of what religious order?
Oh, locked in.
Oh.
Wait.
Close.
Wait, David, you cool with her locking in?
Yes.
Okay, so they both locked in together. We're going to do a 3-2-1, and y'all yell it out at once, okay?
Yes.
3-2-1.
Dominicans.
OPs.
There we go.
OPs.
Dominicanis.
Have you ever seen the meme where it's like a group of, or a Franciscan priest and like another religious, or a priest from another religious order? They're like battling it out to see who's better. And then God is like, stop arguing. Like, and then, but then like, it's like signed God, comma, OP.
Oh. That's good. That's
God is a Dominican.
Well,
I love it.
Can God be a hound of himself?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. Sure.
I'm sure he'll find a way.
I think that was exactly. In the second part of the Summa Pars.
Yes.
You know, one of my friends shouted out to me, and he was like, hey, I got a suggestion. Like, riff a little more on, like, the things that are part of the questions. Like, go a little deeper. Mm-hmm. And so y'all are doing great at that, by the
way. Thank you.
This is a great example.
Represent.
Thank you, Father, Dr. Brad Fossier. Yeah. Okay. So y'all both got it, correct?
Yes, we did.
Yep.
Okay. So keep the score. Last question of round one, anatomy.
Okay.
Sharing its name for the Latin word for chamber room, what are the top sections of the heart called?
I took anatomy in 5th grade, and just never going back. No, nothing.
Got to go back right now.
Chambers of the heart. Okay, yeah, Vera, I'm thinking, when I think of the chambers of the heart, I think of left and right ventricle. And that's kind of the extent of what's coming to mind on a Friday night at 10 o'clock in Westlake, Ohio.
Let's go with that.
Let's go with that.
Lock it in.
We're locked in.
Okay, so Tom Jones duo locks in with ventricle. Okay, what's your reasoning? They locked in with ventricle.
Well, so first, I was like, oh, well, this is easy. It's clearly aorta. And then I realized, no, that's the giant blood vessel that if it bursts, you like die instantly. So, okay, crap. What are the parts of the heart? There's four of them. I only remember the name of two of them, the left and the right ventricle. But now I'm afraid that those are the bottom part, not the top. But nevertheless, I locked in with ventricle because I don't, if it's not that, I honestly don't remember what the other two are called.
Okay, so both teams lock in with ventricle. There are two, but there's also two atria.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds prettier, too.
And like an atrium, right? Yep. If you think of an atrium.
Oh, that's right. Yep. I've heard that word before.
Makes sense.
That makes more sense.
That guy from Good Burger. I know some of these words.
Coming out of round one, the Tom Jones duo have 15 points, a little bit behind the Popish plot, Mike Wilson, SKP Machine, with 20 points. Still a close game, and we're going to the offertory round where you can make up points. You know, we provide the questions, and you turn them into points, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you.
Do I get any extra points for having a three-part introduction?
No, that you see, you have a three-part introduction. It's completely priceless. So
yes,
pointless. What? Pointless?
So it's
it is a gem in God's ring.
Yeah, pointless. Pointless or pointless.
Exactly. It's pointless. Okay, so this is called Scripture in the Movies.
Okay,
Scripture in the Movies. I'm going to give you. Only a part of six different movies, with the year that the movie came out. And, the part I'm leaving out is actually either a book of the Bible or a biblical character.
Okay.
Okay.
These are worth how many points?
They are, so there's six of them. So they're worth, four each.
Okay.
Awesome. So you can get 24 points. So four each, so write this down, don't say anything, but I'm going to say whatever the thing that you're going to hear is, and then I will say blank for the blank. So put it down as blank. Okay. So we have Citizen Blank, 1941, All About Blank, 1950, All About Blank. So you can write it down. All About Blank, 1950. Number three, There's Something About Blank, 1998. There's Something About Blank, 1998. Number four, The Book of Blank, 2010. The Book of Blank, 2010. Blank Now, 1979. Blank Now, 1979. And then the last one, Blank, : Gods and Kings, 2014. Blank, : Gods and Kings, 2014. Okay, Mike, why don't you take off your headphones and let them talk it out? Okay, here's the situation. You're a youth minister, and you know that your youth have the attention span of a goldfish, and you have a Bible study tonight, or you have a movie night, and you want to remind your youth group. Now, you could go the traditional route, which means you group text message 40 high schoolers, in which you're going to get back three memes, two poop emojis, and everyone's going to blow your phone up for the entire day. Or you could get Flocknote. Flocknote is a way to communicate with your entire parish, with just the Altar Society, with the St. Vincent de Paul Society, or your youth group. You log on, you hit a button that has a phone on it. So you're like, oh, text message these people in this group. And you send a message. You say, hey, we're watching Napoleon Dynamite tonight. Hey, we're playing the rosary. Hey, we're going to do kickball and then do adoration, whatever you want. And nobody can group text message back and you can't blow up your phone. You are able to contact them. And they are able to come to youth group. High schoolers do not use email. What are you going to snail mail them and tell them to come to youth group? No, you got to text message them. They're checking their phones all the time. They're on Instagram. They're on Snapchat. Then all of a sudden, St. Herbert's youth group sends them a text message. Boom, they're at youth group. It's a simple solution. Flocknote has you covered. So go to flocknote.com, FLOCKNOTE.com, and look at the pricing. Look if it's good for your church. Sign up. Tell them the Quizzical Papist sent you, and you'll get nothing off. But they'll be like, hey, cool, I like him. Anyway, back to the game.
All right, okay. We're ready. We're locked in.
Mike, you locked in?
Indeed.
The first one, Citizen Blank, 1941. Mike, what you got?
Kane.
Okay, David, what about you?
We locked in right away with Kane. That was the first one. Mm-hmm. We're good.
Absolutely, and it is Kane. It's spelled differently. I think in scripture it's C-A-N-E.
It's C-A-I-N.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You're right.
He's Catholic. He doesn't know the Bible.
Yep. Roast
I should.
Us.
Look, I'm a priest. I better. No, but I misspoke. You're right. Okay, so number two. So you both got it. So it's 4 points. All About Blank. Mike, what you have? 1950.
All About Eve.
David?
Oh, my gosh. That we were totally blanked on that, and it was a guess out of, I don't know where it came from, but we picked All About Eve.
They definitely
Amazing.
Did.
And
maybe it has something to do with this next one and some kind of connection, but there's something about blank. What do you have, Mike?
There's something about Mary.
David?
Ditto.
What?
That's it. There's something about Mary.
Oh my God!
You never don't watch the movie.
Okay.
No, don't watch it.
In fact,
thank y'all for guarding my heart. Like, I appreciate that.
I need to guard most everybody else's. Nobody should watch the movie. It was just Mary was in the title. Okay.
But I know that there are some nuns who like then put on a show called "There's Something About the Virgin Mary."
Oh, really? They were like, but we're going to add a little something
yes,
into this.
Yes, we're going to add a little bit of Jesus into this.
How could we sanctify this?
I think we're going to. I was hoping one of the questions was going to be about the Sound of Music, but.
No, man, the Music Man.
That
the
movie
music
that I've never seen and that people bag on me constantly for having not
gotta
seen
see
it.
It.
I need to
you
see
have
it.
To.
Avera, I also
the look Father Brad is giving me right now.
I've never seen the movie.
I need
best
to go into the confessional immediately.
Look, let me tell you guys, you're right. It's great. I don't know about best movie of all time, but it is fantastic. And my friends told me this. Grace Krause, in fact, said you have to watch the movie. And I watched it with my mother and my sister, and I was just so delighted. It's a very good movie.
I need to watch it.
Oh, okay. You do.
Yeah,
best
homework.
Movie of all time.
Homework.
Instead of watching There's Something About Mary, go watch The Sound of Music.
Sound of Music.
Okay, here we go. So y'all both got it. Y'all are 3 for 3 so far. Number four, The Book of Blank, 2010. Mike, what you got?
Eli.
David?
The Book of Eli. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the movie, but I knew the title.
It's okay. It's a good movie. It's Denzel Washington, and there's a little twist. Wait till the end. Mm. Okay,
a little different than Training Day.
Yeah.
it is different. Though he did win an Academy Award for Training Day, it's a little different. Yeah. But question number five, Blank Now, 1979, Mike.
Apocalypse Now.
That's right, that Greek title. What'd you say, David?
That was the easiest one in the list. I've watched that movie, I told Avira, probably 50 times, and probably at too young an age to see that movie in the first place.
Never heard of it. Never heard of it.
One of the best movies of all time.
There we go.
But not
so,
number one.
No, not number one.
Number one is Sound of Music. Okay, so it is Apocalypse Now, 1979. Stanley Kubrick, correct?
Yes.
Isn't it?
Wasn't that Coppola?
No, I think it's Stanley Kubrick, right?
Oh, you're probably right.
Let me check.
I know it almost killed Martin Sheen, but
that would have been horrible.
Yeah.
It would have been horrible. I mean, it was a very rough shoot.
Let me see.
And it featured a 14-year-old Lawrence Fishburne
on the boat. Yeah, yeah, he was one of the soldiers on the boat on the riverboat.
You're right. It is Mike coming in strong. It is
Francis Ford Coppola.
Mm-hmm. of Godfather fame. Blank. Colon Gods and Kings 2014 Popish plot. What do you got?
That would be Exodus.
Wowzers. Okay, David, what you got?
This one totally stumped us. We really just kind of guessed randomly at Eden, Gods and Kings.
They had an exodus out of Eden, but it is definitely Exodus, Gods and Kings, 2014.
Were they hitting east or west?
probably west, right? Because east of Eden, I don't know, maybe east.
I'm thinking Steinbeck has the answer here somewhere.
Coming out of the offertory round, the Popish plot, Mike by himself has 44 points. Good job. And then in the Tom Jones duo, they have 35 points. And so,
not that I had to look up who Tom Jones is at all. That definitely didn't happen.
Avera's done a lot of research. A lot of research that you know, quite frankly, young women shouldn't do.
Yes.
Something about Mary, Tom Jones Chester. Okay.
Oh, we should also say, no one should watch Exodus, Gods, and Kings either.
That's true. That's true. It's not accurate.
It is extremely theologically dubious.
What was the one that was made about Noah?
What was that one?
Noah. No, it was just Noah? Yeah. Like,
nailed it.
Literally, I heard it was... like a heaping pile of garbage.
You know, Baron liked it.
Really?
He did.
Well,
that look.
He did.
I'm not taking that as a recommendation.
at the end, there's a little bit of redemption, but there's so much garbage.
So much going in the opposite direction for the rest of the movie.
The whole rest of the way.
But isn't that the Old Testament? Like... a lot of garbage, like in a good, not like the Old Testament garbage, the question, and then the answer is the end, the New Testament. I get you. I know. It just wasn't necessarily accurate. Time for round two. Question one, round two. These are worth 5 or 7 points each. We have, so all these are Catholic something. So that's the connection. Okay. There is no like extra points for overarching theme this time. It's just, this is Catholic comedians. These are fun, guys.
Ooh,
these are fun.
Okay.
And remember, you have a phone a friend if you want. This comedian was buried at St. Ambrose of Woodbury Church in 2005. And here is one of his jokes. And you have to give me the Catholic comedian. I like to take a toothpick and throw it into the forest and say, "You're home."
That's so deep.
Isn't it deep?
Oh my gosh.
I like to take a toothpick and throw it into the forest and say, "You're home."
I'm stunned.
Right.
Locked in.
Ooh, Mike's locked in.
Gosh.
Okay, Avera and David, talk it out.
Wow.
I sure hope you know this, because if not...
Oh my gosh, not even a little bit. Not even a clue.
I have not an atom of an idea. Ideas don't have atoms. But.
No, I'm picturing the toothpick getting thrown into the forest.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic comedian. There's only one Catholic. I hope Father Brad has taken us down the path. There's only one Catholic comedian I know, and I'm still struggling to remember his name. Jim Gaffigan. That's the only Catholic comedian I know is Jim Gaffigan. So if he didn't say, "I threw a toothpick into the forest in your home," I don't know who would.
Well, we'll just say him then.
All right, we'll go with Jim Gaffigan. Locked in.
Okay, so Tom Jones duo locks in with Jim Gaffigan, the Catholic comedian of Catholic fame. I think he's actually been to Focus Conference and stuff like that. But what do you say, Mike?
Although I am now plagued with doubt, I wrote Chris Farley.
Wowzers. You said Chris Farley. He was Catholic. In fact, fortunately and unfortunately, when he did pass away of... hard situation, hard circumstances, he did have a rosary in his hand. That is something that was reported. He died with a rosary in his hand. Chris Farley, brilliant man. This isn't Chris Farley. This is actually a guy. He was baptized Catholic. That's why I said he's a Catholic comedian, though. I mean, he struggled like we all do have struggles, but Mitch Hedberg. Mitch Hedberg, who, a great comedian of just situation and one-liners, situational humor and one-liners. I mean, he would say it like this. I didn't say it like him. He goes, "I like to take a toothpick and throw it in the forest and say, 'You're home.'" That's how he would deliver things. I mean, he just had great one-liner. I said the other day, I did a tweet and I was like, Mitch Hedberg would have slayed Twitter. Like, he was perfect for Twitter. It was like, everything was under 220 characters and brilliantly perceived. So yes. He actually was buried at St. Ambrose of Woodbury Church in 2005.
Wow.
Let's shoot up a prayer for him. Whoever you are, wherever you're listening, just shoot up a prayer. Hail Mary for Mitch Hedberg. May you rest in peace. Mm-hmm. Okay, so question number two, Catholic towns. Okay. I really love this set. This is a good set. Okay. This Indiana town's feast day is on December 6th, yet it is not its most popular day. What is the town called?
Avera, you know, I'm telling you, the only thing that comes to mind is what's the city where Notre Dame?
Would
think that you would think that Notre Dame is going to be famous for.
There's a marrying feast. That's December 7th, though, isn't it?
Yes, it's the 7th.
Yeah.
So, well, but they're...
8th, well, 8th.
Thank you, the 8th. Mm-hmm. So the town's feast day on the 6th, whose feast day is on the 6th?
Jeez, I don't know. Whose feast day?
No,
St. Jane Frances de Chantal got obliterated by Our Lady of Guadalupe, I believe. So that would be December or something. So not that. I don't know. Why don't we just say Notre Dame?
Well, that's the college where it's at.
Is that not the name of the city though? I know Ave Maria University is in Ave Maria, Florida. So,
what you want to go with?
Cleveland.
Okay, Tom Jones duo goes with Cleveland. Just straight up going a homer right here, going straight for Cleveland.
Yes.
Because Notre Dame, there is a Notre Dame University also in Cleveland, not just South Bend, which is what you're looking for.
That's it.
But Mike with the Popish plot, what do you say?
I went with the only person whose feast I know was on December 6th, St. Nicholas.
Let me tell you. We'll leave it up to the crew here to see if he got it. The town is called Santa Claus, Indiana.
There's a town called Santa Claus, Indiana.
Sinterklaas. There's a town. There's a town called Santa Claus. Look, go look it up.
Amazing.
It is weird. It's weird. They have like a statue of Santa Claus, but not like the Bishop Santa Claus.
Right.
St. Nicholas. It's like
Coca-Cola
Santa Claus. And like it's
then
not.
Then we can't give it to him. Those are two different people.
But that guy doesn't have a feast day.
Yeah, that guy doesn't have a feast day.
In the town, the town's feast day is December 6th, and the town's, I guess, most famous day is obviously December 24th and 25th. Mm-hmm. And so it is Santa Claus. I'll say the town's name is Santa Claus. So let's just do this. Let's just say, because you were on Jeopardy once, so we're not going to give you the points.
Yeah. Just make it fair for the rest of us struggling along right now.
It was a great guess. Well, he knew the feast day was December 6th.
I finished third on Jeopardy. I'm the Weird Al song. I lost on Jeopardy.
Was it fun?
Oh, it was amazing. We're actually, even though there's nothing Catholic about it, because you want to hear the story, we're going to do an episode of the Popish Plot about the Jeopardy experience.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I want to, so you do that. Link in the show notes. I want to do that. And I also want to have you on for a coffee talk where you tell us about the Jeopardy experience. That'd be great.
Even better.
Question number three, Catholic authors.
Okay.
Pulitzer Prize and Nobel Prize winner and author of Beloved, Toni Morrison, was baptized a Catholic at her own choosing when she was a 12-year-old girl. What name did she take as her patron saint?
Agnes. I'm just going to go really basic.
How'd you come up with Agnes?
Everybody chooses Agnes.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't know.
So I have no idea. Toni Morrison.
She passed away the other day, did she not?
I don't know.
She did, yeah.
She's the author of Beloved.
Mm-hmm.
So Toni, what's Toni a nickname for? Antonia or?
St. Anthony. Let's go with St. Anthony. I think that's it. I think I saw something about that online. I believe it is St. Anthony.
I like that. And that would be sort of unusual to select that, but I like that.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Locked in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the Tom Jones duo is locked in. for the first time before Popish Plot Mike Wilson, whose hand is currently on his forehead without his his headphones on, and he with is
furrowed
thinking
brow.
With furrowed brow, and his beard
wailing
is pressed against his chest
teeth.
Because his head's down. This is amazing. Wow.
I believe I saw something about this on Twitter the other day, though, when she passed.
Oh, did you? Oh, perfect. Mm-hmm. And does that ring a bell, what we locked in with?
I think so, yes.
Well, it doesn't matter. You locked in with it.
Okay.
And then she was like predominantly like an African-American author,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think she's one of the – I think she was the first or one of the – you know, she's definitely known as being like an African-American author, but I think mm-hmm. she might have been the first to win a Pulitzer Prize.
Wow.
Well, let's do a thumbs up. Okay, so the Tom Jones has locked in and given their answer. What do you say, Mike?
Well, I'm going to talk it through, even though I'm already locked in.
No, that's good. you don't have to. You didn't hear anything, so you can unlock. You're not locked in until you tell me.
Fair enough. So if I could talk myself into something different.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Okay, so I know she just died, but I've never read any of her books. I know nothing about her life. Okay, so I'm trying to parse the question. So she was 12 years old. So I'm like, okay, 12-year-old saints. Mm-hmm. Who's a 12-year-old saint? Okay, they're almost all like early virgin martyrs. So, okay, like who would she be attracted to? And the only one that came to mind was Philomena, but maybe Agnes. You know, their ages aren't real certain. But then, like Father Brad mentioned, she's the author of Beloved.
I did.
Mm.
And Beloved is the meaning of the word, or it's one of the several meanings of the word David.
Ooh.
And I know that because I address my emails to my brother David as Beloved.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
So can a 12-year-old girl insist on having a male patron saint?
I tried.
I'm going to go with yes. And so my answer is David.
Literally, even if he gets it wrong, like, can we give him points just for that explanation?
You want to give him the 7 points I didn't give him for
no.
Santa Claus?
No, 3.5.
Three and a half. David's throwing down the gauntlet. Okay, so beautiful expression of a wrong answer, but
that's
it was beautiful. I liked
that's
it.
What I'm known
amazing.
For.
Okay, so what is Tom Jones's duo went with Anthony, thinking mm-hmm. that Tony was short for Anthony, and that is absolutely right.
Yes,
Twitter for the win.
Good job. Y'all are showing the world that the quizzical papist world of how to do trivia. Y'all go deep.
Spend
y'all don't give
way
up.
Way too much time on social media.
Question number 4 of round 2. Y'all got to keep y'all scores, remember. This is Catholic.
It's easy to rack up the zeros.
Yes.
This is Catholic. Well, not for them. Catholic geography.
Oh, count me out already. David, you're on your own.
That is not how you do trivia. Think. Here we go. What saint was the first European to name what is now called Lake George, calling it Lac du Saint Sacrement, Lake of the Blessed Sacrament, in the northeastern portion of the U.S. state of New York?
Okay.
Do I have any friends that live in New York?
We're going to have to talk this one out.
Yeah.
So, geography, Lake of the Blessed Sacrament, New York. It's got to be a French saint.
Okay.
Because that was all around the time when the Jesuits, I believe, were coming to the U.S. to spread the gospel mm-hmm. and primarily, I think, interact with all the Indian tribes there. So,
okay. No.
Yeah, boy, because you said St. Martin de Porres.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not coming up with anything besides that, Avira.
Yeah, I have no idea. And the only reason I say St. Martin de Porres is because I had a relic of him in my room this weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
So, that's the only reason.
Let's go with that.
Okay.
I mean, that locks it in for me
yeah.
right there.
That relic was put in my room specifically so that I could get 7 points in trivia.
And what did you say, Mike, of Popish Plot?
So we've got a lot of Frenchy type names here in Michigan. And so I went with kind of a Homer name.
Okay.
I think it was Pear Marquette.
Okay, Pear Marquette.
Sounds fancy enough to be correct.
No, I think that's Pear Market in Michigan. Pear Market.
That's how they would say it. Detroit, also known as Detroit.
Pear Marquette.
Marquette. It is neither. Sorry. It is neither. It was
Champlain?
No, it was actually Isaac Jogues himself.
Really?
Oh, sweet.
We were literally just talking about him earlier, too. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Isaac Jogues, one of the North American martyrs, northern New York on the border of Canada and or what would be Canada. And then, but yeah, Isaac Jogues, he's actually also the first Catholic priest to pass through Manhattan Island.
Wow.
On his way back after being freed from the Mohawks, he was bought out of captivity from the Mohawks. They had cut off his fingers, his canonical digits, the fingers that held the Eucharist. So the Hurons and then someone else ransomed him back. And on his way out, he left from Manhattan. And he was the first Catholic priest to actually step foot on Manhattan Island, went back to France, and then he retired on the French Riviera.
Wow.
No, he didn't. He actually came back, and he was martyred.
I was about to say, what evil martyr did you just say?
I always say that whenever I tell a story because like it drives home the point that he could have stayed and just been in France and been like, I'm just going to stay here. But he didn't. He went back like St. Patrick. He went back like all the great saints. Okay. Yes. So is Isaac Jogues himself. Last question of round two, 7 points, Catholic churches. Mm. Here we go. The Syro-Malabar Church is one of the various churches in communion with the Roman Pontiff, making it a part of the Catholic communion. In what country can it be found? The Syro-Malabar Church. So where's the center of this? This is one of the Eastern churches that's in communion with Rome.
Locked in.
That is very intimidating.
See, I could be wrong. I'm really confident, which could go completely right or completely wrong.
Okay. So that makes me feel like 10% better. Okay.
It's good to be convicted.
Yes. Okay, let's talk this out. Can you say the name one more time?
Syro-Malabar.
Syro-Malabar. So when I think of Malabar, for some reason, I don't know why, I'm thinking the first word that came to mind sounded Spanish.
Mm-hmm. My guess was Italian, but well, no, because I know it's an Eastern Rite church, but there's so many different Eastern. There's one that starts with an M. What's the one that starts with an M?
M? Oh,
I'm not telling you.
It's Mo's something. There's a different right.
Mo Green from The Godfather.
I highly, I'm about 85% sure that's not it.
I would just tell you right out.
Maronite is the M word you were thinking.
Is it Maronite? Yes.
Maronite.
I think so.
But I don't know the history of the Maronite rite.
Maybe Spain? I'm more confident saying Spain than France.
You want to lock in with Spain?
Yeah, let's lock in with Spain.
Okay, let's do it.
Tom Jones duo locks in with Spain. Popish plot, what you got?
That's the royal we.
We.
That's the royal we.
We.
Our Majesty said India.
India. Ooh. It is not Spain. It is India.
Oh, wow.
That's right. It's so weird because I never really understood Syro as in Syrian. But I don't know why, because India, I mean, I guess you kind of go that way. You go through Syria, eventually go down south towards India. Yeah. But it's actually got its roots in St. Thomas. St. Thomas the Apostle was the furthest. So he was the one who doubted, but he's also the one who got the furthest.
See, that is an unfair rap.
Absolutely.
Because the other guys, they all doubted until they physically saw the Lord. Like people were saying, oh, the Lord is risen, the Lord is risen. But they didn't believe until he walked through the locked door.
Yeah.
So it is completely unfair that we call him Doubting Thomas. He just wanted the same level of proof they had.
Yeah. And even that, too, Saint Thomas's proclamation, "My Lord and my God," was, I think, an even higher proclamation than what Peter said.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like where he said, like, "You are like the Christ or the Son of God," you know, like, no, he said, "My Lord and my God."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, coming out of round two, Mike Wilson has 51 points and the Tom Jones duo has 42.
Yes.
42.
And it's time for the Extreme Unction.
Extreme Unction.
Extreme Unction.
Dun, dun, dun.
Extreme Unction.
Wow, he's been waiting and he definitely delivered. Both of y'all did. That's great. Okay, so here's your Extreme Unction. The category is Catholic literature. Okay, Mike, you locked in?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're not going to reveal it to Mike, so it'll be a fancy reveal at the end. Here we go.
Surprise.
Here's your question. Catholic literature. And by literature, I mean Catholic letters. And by Catholic letters, I mean that part of the Bible. So what I need from you is, and this is just one question, and you have to get all of them. I need four names. I need the four names that are associated with the seven different Catholic letters of Scripture. There's four. So some of them have like blank 1, 2, or 1, 2, 3, right? But there's four different names that are associated with the Catholic letters.
I'm good to lock in with that.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Let's do it.
Okay, Mike Wilson, what do you lock in with?
So you want my answers, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I believe the four names that wrote the seven Catholic letters are Peter, James, John, and Jude.
Okay, the four names, which was what the question was. David, you went a little different route. I couldn't change it because I couldn't interject because I gave you all the same amount of information.
Yeah.
What did you come up with?
So we went down a totally different path. We actually, maybe I wasn't paying super close attention to the question, which is totally possible at 4 to 11. Avira and I were talking about the different unique letters of the alphabet that represented books in the New Testament.
Yeah, that's true.
So we came up with Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, Philippians, Roman, Hebrew, and Jude.
So they went like the first letters of each.
Literally the letters.
Unique letters.
I dig it.
Yeah. That's good. I like it. Okay, so the Catholic, this
do
is good.
Do you like it enough to give us the points?
No, not even close. So look.
Yeah, we've established you do not get points for
right.
close.
So the Catholic letters, so Paul wrote most of the New Testament, or most of the letters at least, and those are like to the Ephesians, to the Colossians, yada, yada. There's other letters or epistles written by other people, and the four names are James, Peter, John, and Jude.
Yeah.
So you have 1, 2, and 3, John, and then he also wrote the Gospel and the Apocalypse, and then you have Peter, 1 and 2, James, and then Jude. And so Mike, SKP Machine, gets the points, gets his whatever he wagered. So let's reveal this. What'd you wager?
I decided to go big or go home, so I wagered 51 points.
Ooh.
Wow, 51 points. And what'd y'all wager over there, Tom Jones duo?
We went with 41 so as not to be left with zero in the case of a catastrophe.
That happened.
But they would have, if I'd gotten any one of the parts wrong, they would have won the game.
Mike Wilson by himself won. He's the Swiss Guard of the Week.
It's a nice fault being the biggest and the strongest. I don't even exercise.
He is the winner, 102 points. Everyone give it up for Mike.
Yes.
Good job. Thanks for – this was, I think, the most trivia intensive, and the best example of how to do trivia, like talking it out, thinking about it, not giving up on questions. It was very great. I'm glad y'all got to be on, and I wouldn't expect anything less from my patrons. Yeah. Y'all are the Catholic nerdiest of the nerds.
See, but after the fact, I'm kicking myself because I remember you putting a Mitch Hedberg post on social media.
That's like, it.
I should have been.
He was getting us ready.
I should have been playing the host.
Game theory.
I was just hoping for a question about Genesis albums.
That's one. Well, you just go to once. You just go to the Genesis once. And then
who got roasted on Catholic Twitter the hardest this week? That's what I was looking for. Who that did? Kind of trivia. I don't know. I've been on fast all week.
Oh, that's right. You've been on retreat. Okay, so thanks for joining us. What we're going to do is we're going to go around and we'll say just a shout out. So what y'all got? Why don't we start with David?
Okay, I've got a shout out to my beautiful wife, Cecilia, who introduced me to this beautiful Catholic faith many, many years ago when we got married. We're about to celebrate our 33rd wedding anniversary. And to my two wonderful children, Kate and Nick, and their spouses, and our grandchildren. And also one final shout out to a young priest in our diocese who actually just took an assignment over in Rome. Father Jeff Barnish is going to be studying for his doctorate over in Rome and come back to teach here in Cleveland.
Beautiful.
That's legit. Awesome. That's a great shout out. Thanks for joining us, David, and thank you for your support as a patron, as a part of the Swiss Guard. Mike, what you got?
I'm going to shout out my long-suffering and extremely patient collaborators, Nate and Jessica, and they're two girls who are very, very quiet whenever we scream hot set. Katie and Barbara, thank you very much.
Nice. Yeah. You have to have family and friends that cooperate with your media stuff. Thankfully, Father Josh has just been in the chapel there, being very cooperative. So thanks for joining us, Mike. Mike gives a lot of questions. He provides the show with questions. There's always interaction. If you want to do that, you can just email quizzicalpapist@gmail.com and give a question, and we'll shout you out and get that question in there. Finally, Avera, thanks for coming. Who's your shout out, or what is?
My shout out, first and foremost, is to Father Josh and Holy Rosary for having me this week.
You can't do that.
I know, but...
She just did.
He wasn't even here.
He wasn't even here.
He finds his way in.
Yeah.
He did a walk-by.
Yes, he did.
He was on the podcast for like 10 seconds.
Just the experience that I've had here over the course of the past few days has been life-changing. It's so real. I really, really needed it. And another shout-out to my sister. My sister, she's just turned 17 a couple of weeks ago, but she informed me that she would like me to be her confirmation sponsor. So awesome. I'm going to be sponsoring my little sister. Her name is Junior.
Beautiful. Yeah, my shout out will be returned by. It's a new podcast we're doing in collaboration with Grace Krause and Kathleen Thompson, and who else is doing it? Who's the other one? Oh, Christine Mendizabal. And basically, it's for all you procrastinators out there who want to read books but need a fire lit under your Jennifer Lopez. And we just need an assignment. So we give you an assignment. What we're reading first is Man Alive by G.K. Chesterton. Mm-hmm. You can find it anywhere books are found. And we're gonna throw a podcast out there August 28th. So give us your feedback. Return by... podcast@gmail.com and watch for that. Go subscribe to it. Thank you all for joining us. It's been really one of the best episodes, I believe. You can always join the patrons at patreon.com/quizzicalpapist. You can be $1, $3 if you want to be on the show. You can be a $5, and you can give us shout or feedback at iTunes in the reviews or at quizzicalpapist@gmail.com. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, Amen. Thank you so much for these good people, for the universality of the church. We have people from all over the world listening and participating for David, his family, Mike, his family, everyone who's close to him. Lord, bless them, and for Avera and her family. Thank you for the universality of this faith. And so we pray through the intercession of Mary. Hail Mary. Full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to the Quizzical Papists. This has been David, Mike, Avera, and Father Brad. We look forward to seeing you next time. God bless. Peace.
Can I ask you a trivia question?
Is that the way the show works? Go ahead.
Do you know my first name?
It's not Avera? Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on. Wait, how would I know this? Hold on. Marie. Oh, that's your middle name. You took Marie?
Yes, okay, I took the whole thing. It's Farron.
Yeah, that's more
Farron, Irish. Farron, one letter off. Adam. I know somebody said Ferris, so that is F-E-R-R-I-S. My first name is F-E-R-R-I-N.
Bueller. Okay, yeah. Bueller.